Do you swear on the Constitution of the United States to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
This is Police Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, with your host, Randy Sutton.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. This is your host, Randy Sutton. Today we're going to do something a little bit different than what we have our usual format. We're gonna do a whole show with just Randy. That's right, you got me for the next hour, and we're not going to have an interview this week because I got so much to talk about, and we're going to kind of change it up this week. I want to share a little something personal with you, also something that I have a great deal of pride in. And what I'm talking about is my new book, The Power of Legacy, Personal Heroes of America's Most Inspiring People, is now ready for pre-order from Amazon.com. I got to tell you a little bit something about that book, why I did it. The reason I retired from policing with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department is because I suffered a stroke in my police car, and the subsequent medical diagnosis was, let's say, grim. And at that time, I started thinking about my legacy and what would I be remembered for. And I happened to be watching an interview with a credible man named Frank Shankwitz, the man who created the Make-A-Wish Foundation, when he was an Arizona trooper. And I saw this interview and said, I've got it. I want to meet him and talk to people like him about who their personal heroes were that inspired them to do the amazing works that they do for others. So I traveled the country and I talked to incredible people like Frank, like Gary Sinise, like people right in your backyard who you might not even know but who have touched the lives of so many people. That book changed my life. I think if you read it, it might change yours as well. It is a realization that heroes are among us and everyone can become a personal hero. Check it out on Amazon.com. Look up The Power of Legacy or just look up my name, and I would love for you to read it and I would love for you to review it. So check it out, Amazon.com, The Power of Legacy. I think you'll really enjoy it. With everything going on in law enforcement, with all of the negativity, with all of the violence, this headline should not come as a surprise to anyone. It comes out of a Massachusetts newspaper. Fewer police recruits amid killings, scrutiny, and negativity. Well, golly, I am shocked that's a headline. And it's something that is going on all over the country. In this particular headline, in this story, they're talking about the number of police recruits being significantly different. So in Boston, the current civil service list for entry-level police jobs has 2,536 names on it. Okay? This is, and according to the police commissioner, he said this, I think it's the lowest we've ever had for people taking the exam. And he went on to say, I came on the job years ago, and there were thousands more there than there are now. There were 15,000 to 20,000 people fighting for those positions when I came on the police department in 1986, a former Boston police superintendent and chief said. Now, what is the reason for this? There are so many, but it really comes down to the change in the societal references for law enforcement. I mean, the way that the media has somehow turned against law enforcement following the political atmosphere and even politicians taking a clear anti-law enforcement stance in so many areas has denigrated law enforcement in the eyes of the public. And it is no longer, in many instances, considered a job that is worthwhile. You know, when I became a police officer in the ancient days, I considered myself lucky because I always knew what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to be a police officer. It was a calling to me. And many of my contemporaries felt the same way. We got into you know, a lot of philosophical discussions over the years about what drew us to policing. And after you get all the bravado out of the way, it really came down to a sense of service. Well, it was never a great paying job. In a lot of areas now, the salaries are decent. But in many places in this country, the salaries suck. You know, we're talking about starting salaries and even some topped out salaries just in the $30,000 range. Well, think about this. If you're going to literally lay your life on the line every time you put on that uniform, don't people deserve to be compensated for that? It seems that in the last few years, instead of police agencies providing better compensation, better working conditions, better benefits, there has been a move to do just the opposite. I know in my own city of Las Vegas, they have literally changed the retirement system that forces police officers to work 30 years. Now, that's okay if you come on the job when you're 21 years old, but how about when you come on the job when you're 30 years old or 35 years old? Your body, by the time you got 20, 25 years on the job, your body is beat up. It is worn out. Getting in fights throughout your career, the demands, the physical demands, the working of the shift work, the wearing of a gun belt with 25 pounds of equipment, it really does take a toll. And you would think that police agencies and cities, it's not the police agencies, it's the city governments, would realize as the recruiting continues to diminish, that you have to be aware that the only way to draw people in that are qualified is to make it somewhat appealing. You simply cannot any longer go about business as it was 20 years ago, when people were literally lining up to get police jobs because of the benefits. You're seeing pensions being diminished. You're seeing some pension systems being eradicated and going to other forms of retirement compensation that are not nearly as attractive. So you see society treating their police much differently, not nearly as civilly. You watch literally every day another confrontation where police are being insulted, where people are being confrontational because they're no longer afraid of consequences when they are not cooperative with law enforcement. And you see the rising number of law enforcement officers being assaulted. You know, many people are unaware of this statistic, but in 2016, there were 57,000 law enforcement officers who were assaulted in the line of duty. Think of this. 57,000 cops were assaulted in the line of duty in 1 year. Many of those were injured to the point where they could no longer work again. And that's a whole nother topic that we're going to talk about. But if you're willing to put yourself in danger like that, don't our law enforcement officers, shouldn't they be expectant and receive respect from not only the people that they serve, but to the cities that employ them? In fact, while we're talking about this, an absolutely unbelievable story came out of Houston just a couple days ago. Now this happened to firefighters. It could just as easily have happened to police officers. I'm going to read the first part of this story. In an effort to recoup medical expenses incurred in the line of duty, the city of Houston hired an attorney to file liens on the estates of firefighters who were killed or seriously injured in the line of duty. Okay, let that sink in for just a moment. These firefighters lost their lives doing their job, and the city of Houston hires attorneys, pays them gobs of money to file liens against their estate? Are you kidding me? How is this even possible that the city leaders could make a decision like this? And this actually happened a couple years ago and is just being made public. And the public outcry is causing an uproar in the city of Houston. In fact, later on in the story, this law firm filed court paperwork seeking over $2.5 million from a firefighter who had been injured so badly that there were great medical costs. Then he died, and they filed paperwork seeking $2.5 million from the estate. The president of the Houston Professional Firefighters Association, he said this: "I was pretty speechless, to be honest with you." I have to say that's probably an understatement. "The word I used is disgusting. If there is any attempt ever to put a lien or ask for money on the backs of firefighters that have given the ultimate sacrifice in the line of duty, there is no other word," unquote. And I couldn't agree more. When this all hit the news, the Houston mayor, Sylvester Turner, said that the establishment of the liens occurred before he took office and the city would be releasing them. So, under the previous mayor, these decisions were made. And I have a feeling that if this had not been made public and the public had been kept in the dark, no one would say a word, and the mayor would go along with it just like his predecessor. But happily, this was made public. So you're looking at a crisis situation now when it comes down to the safety of the American public in many, many cities. You are seeing law enforcement officers leaving the ranks before they're eligible for retirement, or at the very, like the very next day after they retire. You know, many cops loved the job so much that even after they were eligible to retire, they would stay an extra 5, 10, 15 years. And you cannot put a price on the experience level that those officers brought with them. Now that we are seeing retention diminishing at unprecedented rates, we are seeing recruiting diminishing at unprecedented rates. We are going to see in the very near future a crisis. It is just beginning now, that there will not be enough quality people taking jobs as law enforcement officers. And this is going to have a tremendous effect on the safety of our citizens. Now, there has to be a reckoning here. There has to be some common sense and recognition from, quote, leaders, unquote, in the cities. But as yet, we're not seeing anything that even approaches a plan. You know, all of this nonsense and negativity began under the administration of President Barack Obama. I have never considered myself a political person. I'm not a registered Republican. I'm not a registered Democrat. I consider myself to be an independent. I don't care about political affiliations. At least I never did. Until, as a law enforcement officer, I saw this country begin to turn its backs on American police officers, American law enforcement officers. And that all happened under the watch of Barack Obama. I never saw the Department of Justice being weaponized against the police as I did under the Eric Holder Department of Justice. And the reality is that the leadership of this country spearheaded this movement, if you will, that has denigrated the law enforcement officers of this country and placed their lives in jeopardy. So how are we going to change this? How are we as a country going to recognize that this crisis exists when the great lie of Ferguson took place? Hands up, don't shoot. That was the turning point where American law enforcement began to be vilified by the media, by social justice, I'm using that word loosely, social justice groups. And it was in essence polarizing this country, and it was the Department of Justice and Barack Obama who led it.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
When Barack Obama first took office, I got to tell you, I was hopeful. I was hopeful that this president, who made such great promises and who appeared to be sincere about making positive changes in our country, when I realized very soon after he was elected, the incident occurred in Cambridge when a police sergeant was called to a reported burglary in progress, and it turned out that it was a black professor who had locked himself out of his own house. So the police sergeant gets there, he doesn't know who he is, and he asks for identification to prove that he is legitimately there. Well, the professor becomes confrontational, refuses to cooperate, and winds up getting in this confrontation with this police officer. And before even knowing anything about it, the President of the United States weighs into this issue, calling the cop names and saying that he acted stupidly. He didn't even know about what took place other than what he had been filled in. And he immediately weighs in on it. And that was the moment when I, as a law enforcement officer, and police officers and law enforcement officers all over this country, realized that there is something in the wind here. And that began it. He showed his disdain for law enforcement early on. And then he sicked his Department of Justice on the American law enforcement officer with unprecedented investigations into police agencies charging racism. And that began the turning point for this country. You know, I can't help but think that moment was the pivotal moment in this country's history when the American public began scrutinizing in a very negative way the very people that protect them. And we are seeing the fruits of that now. How are we as a country going to change this? This is going to require the people of this country coming together. And instead of being divided as it is now in so many ways, to realize that the American law enforcement officer is there to protect them, despite what the media says, despite what incredible infestation of social media that has literally been turned into anti-police propaganda and has become so widespread that it has changed the course of history. We're seeing more and more officers who are depolicing. And that means that they are afraid to do their job. They're afraid to become the next victim of a politically motivated prosecution. They're afraid to be the victim of a media that will stop at nothing to destroy the character of a police officer based on circumstances that they are very often not even aware of. we see calls for police officers to be prosecuted almost on a weekly basis based on officer-involved shootings that are perfectly justified. If we don't begin inserting common sense into the criminal justice system, into the narrative, we are going to face a crisis of crime. One of the other things that Barack Obama did was did his very best to release as many prisoners as possible. He changed the way he pardoned thousands of drug dealers, of violent criminals, and began a campaign of decriminalization. The state of California has not only embraced it, but taken it to levels that boggle the imagination. So what we're seeing around the country is a decriminalizing crimes. Okay, it's not even a felony to break into a car in California anymore. Go figure that one. So if there's no consequences, then why would it be surprising when there is just unprecedented victimization taking place? And it all comes down to the way that this country changed under a presidential administration. We're seeing a complete different attitude towards law enforcement from President Trump. But unfortunately, we now have such polarization, we have such divisiveness, that instead of this beginning to turn the ship around, if you will, we're seeing people digging in their heels on anti-Trump, anti-government thought patterns. And instead of that leadership, which has done more for positive policing than I've seen in decades, instead of it being celebrated and being shared and changes being made in attitudes, it doesn't seem to be having much of an effect at all. Now, that being said, while there is this large outcry, while there is lots of media attention on negativity, when you're seeing protests in the streets, when you're seeing anti-law enforcement story after anti-law enforcement story, it can make you think that the majority of the people in the United States hate their cops. But the reality is far different. In fact, there have been some recent polls done which are remarkable in that they show a tremendous difference in the way that people think about supporting law enforcement. The fact is that about 70% of Americans, and that includes in the inner cities, just a couple points less, have demonstrated through these polls that they respect their law enforcement and that they admire their law enforcement. You wouldn't think that, judging by what you see on the news and what you hear in the media. So who's driving the narrative here? Why? Why is the liberal media driving a narrative which is turning the police against the people that they serve? And, you know, I wish I had the answer to it. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, it's there. I can tell you this, that CNN, which of course is a major news source, has proven time and time again that they have an anti-law enforcement agenda. The coverage of Ferguson, the coverage of the riots in Baltimore and in other places was so entirely one-sided that it demonstrated that there is some nefarious thought process taking place, which is being put into the narrative by the media. And let's face it, if you're an average American and you're getting your news from television like most people do, or from Facebook, God help us, you're getting so much one-sided information that maybe you start believing that narrative. That's the danger. I have been a strong proponent of the media because I know that they exist in order to keep government honest. That's really what they exist for. But what happens when they become perverted and instead of telling you the truth, they work on a political agenda? And that's what we're seeing all over the country. This is frightening because it is literally having an effect on the lives of the American law enforcement officer, both physically, emotionally, psychologically. I have contact with police officers and sheriff's deputies, first responders, hundreds of times a week. I get messages. I get Facebook messages. I get emails because of my law enforcement advocacy. And I got to tell you, I'm really concerned because I'm seeing post-traumatic stress increasing at really alarming levels. I'm seeing police suicides rising in very dramatic fashion because just in the last couple of weeks, we've had three officers take their own lives at their own police stations. Well, that's a statement. That's a statement. That's frightening. And when you see this type of danger taking place and you see the effect that it's having, it becomes very frustrating for me because you're almost powerless to do anything that will turn this tide around. I mean, that's the reason why I do this radio show. That's the reason why I do interviews on all the media outlets that will talk to me. Because as a one person, I'm limited in what I can do. But we have to work together. We have to come together as a country. And our citizens need to become one with the police. You know, I'm going to tell you about a new organization that is going to be up and running very soon. It's called The Wounded Blue. If you want to take a look at the website, check out thewoundedblue.org. We are right now just awaiting our IRS approval for nonprofit status. But it is designed as a not-for-profit organization devoted to the concepts of protecting injured and disabled police officers who are physically injured and psychologically and emotionally damaged through post-traumatic stress. I wish that this organization was not necessary. And I'll tell you why I have created it. Because of the heartbreaking stories and messages I have been receiving over the last few years from cops and deputies who have become injured and disabled in the line of duty and literally thrown away by their cities and their agencies. The motto of the Wounded Blue is never forgotten, never alone. Because these men and women who have sacrificed so much for their communities and their country are being mistreated so badly, some ruined financially, some who will literally be tossed aside once they become injured and treated so callously that they will take their own lives. TheWoundedBlue.org. I'd like you to take a look at it. If you would like to donate and help us get this ship sailing, there's a way to do that. You contact me and I'll explain it to you until we actually get our 501c3 nonprofit status. We have partnered with a fiscal partner who is a charitable foundation, and anyone that donates to us will receive their tax deduction. We are about to begin filming a short documentary film called The Wounded Blue to bring attention to it. Because you see, most Americans don't even know that this is a incredibly important issue. Literally, I've had police officers tell me after they were injured, "Randy, I wish I had died that night. I wish I had died because I won't be a burden to my family." And it's heartbreaking. And for those men and women that are listening that fall into the category of the Wounded Blue, I want you to know that you're not going to be alone anymore. That the thousands of people who have also contacted me, citizens, have asked me time and time again, "Randy, how can we show our police that we support them?" And I haven't really had an answer for them until now. I've been telling them to go up to an officer and tell them, "Hey, you know what? Thank you for your service." And I can tell you that there are more and more people doing that. I get those messages too from cops, the saying, telling me, "I've never had so many people come up and say, hey, I appreciate it." And that's fantastic. But now, there's going to be a way for the people of this country to show in a meaningful way how much they support their police by becoming a member of the Wounded Blue. You see, this organization is not only going to provide services to the men and women who have been injured, but it's also designed to bring the police and the people closer together. Now, we are going to be able to provide peer support for these men and women, because when I came up with that motto, "Never Forgotten, Never Alone," it was because that's how they feel. You know, they were part of a fellowship as a law enforcement officer. And many of these officers have been let down by that fellowship. So when you get a chance, check out thewoundedblue.org. I will be making a major announcement when we actually launch the organization. But we've already helped a number of people to get treatment for addiction, which unfortunately goes with post-traumatic stress. We've helped people get into treatment for post-traumatic stress. And that in and of itself is going to play a major role in the lives of thousands and thousands of law enforcement families around this country. There's a way to contact me on my website, thewoundedblue.org, if you would like to help in this endeavor, and if you'd like to donate. So, once again, thewoundedblue.org.
T
To those men and women who are still active duty law enforcement, either as a law enforcement officer or in a support position, especially if you're a crime analyst, I don't know if you have heard of Analyst Notebook, but it's a amazing tool that's being used by police agencies all over this country, both large and small. It is an IBM product, but it's being sold and it's being supported by a pretty amazing company called Blue Light, Blue Light LLC. This is a company, I had the owner on my show as a an interviewee on the radio, because he is a retired Sergeant Major Green Berets, and they used this product to roll up terrorist networks in Iraq and Afghanistan. And that's where this tool was beginning to be used, and then it was modified for law enforcement, and it does amazing stuff. I just got back from a conference in Denver where I interviewed people who have been using it, and I mean to tell you, if you are involved in any investigative process in law enforcement, you need to check this out. Go to BlueLightLLC.com, that's BlueLightLLC.com, and check for Analyst Notebook. It is amazing. The people at Blue Light are amazing, and you will not be sorry if you are in that capacity, because this will assist you in complex investigations, and it will also help your community. Check it out, BlueLightLLC.com. If you're a police officer, or if you are a spouse or a family member, one of the things that is very necessary to help save lives are the ballistic vests and the body armor that police officers wear. The problem with that is that they're uncomfortable. They're hot, especially in the summertime. They get wet, they get sweaty, they get nasty, and it's part of the deal. I mean, you gotta wash them, you gotta take care of them, and that's one of the problems with having a ballistic vest. There is a new product, and I kind of like it. They call it StinkyVest.com. That's the company, and they arrest odors. I love it, and this is really good stuff. And it's not, you don't have to just use it for vests. It's good for all kinds of odors, hampers, the whole bit. And it's really effective stuff. It won't harm your skin. It's really a necessity. If you wear ballistic body armor, or if you want to use it for just home use, this is some really good stuff. And it's only available at StinkyVest.com. Go take a look at it. It's put out by a law enforcement organization, and it eliminates odors without harmful chemicals, pet odors, the whole bit. So check it out. That's StinkyVest.com. See their products, and it is worthwhile.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Let's talk about some other things that are taking place in this country. I want to talk about a recent article that came out that shows just how compassionate police officers are. I'm going to read you the headline. Student who walked 20 miles to work helped by officers gets new car. College student who walked 20 miles to work after his car broke down was gifted a new vehicle and it all started after he was helped by a group of cops. This young man, 20 years old, had broken down on the side of the highway. He was spotted by a Pelham, Alabama police officer, and it was 3 a.m. He was on the side of the road. The officer made contact with him, determined what actually took place, and bought the young man some breakfast, and then took him to a church, a safe place to stay, until it was his first day on the job at the movie company he'd been hired to work for. Well, other officers jumped in to help and assisted him with getting back on his feet. And it turns out that the guy that hired him, after he heard about it, gave him a car. Now, that shows you that not only are police officers compassionate and empathetic, but what happens when people work together for a common good. And these stories rarely get told. And the unfortunate thing is they happen every day. There are so many acts of kindness that take place by American law enforcement officers. They're uncountable. The unfortunate part is they're not sexy, so you won't see a whole lot of social media viral posts that happen when a cop does something really good. Most of the times, nobody will even know about it. But it is what drives police officers to devote their lives to service, because they want to touch the lives of other people. I had a conversation just a few days ago with a young man who is testing for my old department, Las Vegas Metropolitan Police. And he had come to me because he had tested and he was going to take his oral board for the job. And he asked me for some pointers. And we had about a 2-hour conversation. I gave him pointers about the oral board. And in our conversation, I needed him to come up with his own reasons for becoming a police officer. Because in the oral board, there's always a question that exists that, tell us who you are and why you want to be a cop, or something along those lines. Well, you know, some people get embarrassed because they think it's corny to say, well, I want to serve my community. And, you know, that's the best part about being in a position to talk to folks who want to take the job, is helping them focus on and not be embarrassed by the fact that they want to do the job for the right reasons. They want to do the job to help people. And it isn't corny. It is American. Uniquely American, I think. And it's something to be celebrated. So when I read a story like about this young man who was helped by a group of officers, It really makes me very thankful for having had the opportunity to serve with so many great people for so many years. I had a career that spanned almost 34 years, for 10 with the Princeton, New Jersey Police Department, and then with Las Vegas Metropolitan Police. So I had the opportunity to see just so an uncountable amount of acts of kindness and of compassion. And it really is the driving force behind why people become police officers, even to this day. So when I see the profession be denigrated, when I see police officers being refused service in a restaurant, which is happening, just, I can't believe how often it's happening. How can people treat police officers in such a manner simply because of the uniform that they wear? The irony here, of course, is that that is prejudice. That is bias. I call it blue bias. So many of these social justice protesters, and they are accusing law enforcement of being racist, misogynist, against groups because of sexuality. And the reality is so different. It's frustrating to see. And yet many of the people who are crying out against the police because of their alleged bias and prejudice are practicing the same thing. They're blinded to the fact that they are prejudiced and biased, not because of the color of the skin, perhaps, but because of the uniform that they wear. This is injustice, and it's something that I think is an embarrassment to this country, and the American law enforcement officer is bearing the brunt of it. We've got to change that. We've got to come together as a people. And I hope that this radio broadcast, Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, I hope it plays a role in doing just that, in bringing the truth about the American law enforcement officer to the American public. So I'd ask you to share the information about Blue Lives Radio with your friends. I ask you to share the information about thewoundedblue.org, and I'd ask you to share the truth that it is the American law enforcement officer who is steadfast in protecting the people of this nation, and they always will. And that, my friends, is my view from the blue. If you are an active duty law enforcement officer and you work extra jobs like many of us have to do, you're going to want to know about this company. It is an amazing company, and they're called Law Enforcement Specialists. Now, they're based out of Arizona, but they have a presence in most of the United States, and it's pretty unique. You know, we all have to face facts. That is, the police salaries basically suck, and you have to work extra jobs in order to either make ends meet or you want a few of the nicer things in life. Sometimes you have to get them through your agency, but law enforcement specialists, there's a real good possibility that they can put you into extra duty assignments, and they work with your agency. It's wild. I've really never seen another company that does this. So check out their website. It's offdutypoliceofficers.com. Check that out again, offdutypoliceofficers.com. You sign up with them and they get you extra jobs. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Check them out. I know these people personally. They are great folks. They help law enforcement officers all over this country. They assist in charitable organizations, and they're just good people. Check them out at offdutypoliceofficers.com. I want to thank you for listening in to this week's episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, on AmericaOutloud.com. Couple things. One is, if you are on Facebook, you have got to follow me. Come to Facebook and look up Randy Sutton Public Figure. Randy Sutton Public Figure, and like it and follow it, and you'll be able to see everything that I write and communicate with me over there. And if you're on Twitter, my Twitter handle is at LT Randy Sutton. And I'm also on Instagram and LinkedIn. I don't know I don't even know how to use Instagram, but you can find me on LinkedIn as well. I also want to thank my my advertisers. They really, I mean, they make this show possible. So if you are in looking for some of their products and what they do, please take a look at them. The first is Blue Light LLC. Blue Light is a software company that does just an incredible investigative software. So if you are a law enforcement leader or a detective, check them out. That's Blue Light LLC. And also, law enforcement specialists. Law enforcement specialists, they provide extra work assignments for law enforcement officers in most of the United States. So check them out. Stinky Vest, law enforcement officers, you all know how nasty those vests get. They got a great product. It's a spray, and that is stinkyvest.com. I appreciate you once again for listening in to Blue Lives Radio. I'll see you again next week.